In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In I lift up my hands, I lift up my hands to the Lord. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Oh, singing, I love you, Lord, I love you. We're singing, I love you. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Let's try that without the music. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you. Once more. We're singing, yes, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, deserve the glory, oh, and the honor. Church. God bless you. This is 113 in your hymn book.
If this world from you withhold all its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, oh, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord. Your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair. My Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Yes, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord. If you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. Oh, he will make a way for you. He will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Yes, leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And when your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Leave it there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Yes, leave it there.
Nice to have a place to leave our burdens. Nice to have that reminder. Before we go to prayer, have a couple testimonies to read. The doctor said everything looked fine with Brother Jeremy Condor's hernia surgery at his follow-up visit on Monday, so praise the Lord for that. And also a testimony regarding Brother Morris's test results. I believe he had a stress test. All is well, no blockage. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for these wonderful testimonies. I have an update on Brother Scott Reed, who had been hospitalized with a stroke over the weekend. Brother Scott Reed has been released from the hospital on Tuesday. The doctors found that part of the cause of the stroke is due to a hole in his heart that he was born with. He needs to wear a heart monitor for a month. They'll determine if he's in AFib, and then they'll plan on doing a surgery at some point in time to patch that area. So I want to remember him in prayer. Please remember Sister Patty Ard and her family in prayer. Her dad passed away on Monday afternoon. The funeral will be on Thursday at 1 p.m. at the Southern Oaks Funeral Home. That's in Somerset, Kentucky. Also, please remember the families. I know there's several people from the church that will be traveling down there to attend the funeral, so I want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies as well. Please remember Sister Patty Hansel in prayer. She has been having severe shoulder pain and is starting on medicine and therapy to help with the severe disc degeneration in C4 to C7. And she's also having some bone spurs, so definitely want to remember that in prayer. Sister Cheryl Code is not feeling well. Please remember Sister April Stutzman's grandpa, Brother David Dodge, in prayer. He's been hospitalized in Utah for a kidney obstruction. Also, please remember Brother Alan Bryant in prayer. His foot is hurting really bad. It has a big knot on it. And he also has a job interview that he'd like for us to remember in prayer coming up this Friday. And please pray for Sister Joanna Gurgley. She's sick with a migraine headache. I know if you've ever had a migraine, you can enter into that kind of suffering. So pray that the Lord restores our sister. If you have an unspoken prayer request, bring that to the Lord by an uplifted hand. Brother Gary Simmons, would you come up and just pray over these prayer requests? It's good to be out in church this evening. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting and pray that God blesses each and every one of you.
Our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, Lord, but you would deliver them out of them all. Lord, we're humbled by your graciousness to us, Lord, and your word that you put in our hearts. We believe you, Lord. We believe every promise that you've made us. Lord, these are serious requests, Lord, and you know and understand each and every one. And we know, Lord, that you're going to answer them in a marvelous way. Lord, thank you for your children, Lord, here today and around the world, Lord, and crying out to you, for we look forward, Lord, to seeing you in the air one day soon. In the meantime, Lord, we just thank you for your graciousness to us and the love of God that you've shed abroad in our hearts, Lord, and how that we just want to draw closer to you. Be with us through this service and word that will be delivered tonight, Lord. May it feed our hearts, strengthen us, Lord, and draw us a little closer to you, for that's our desire. And we humbly ask these things in that lovely name above all names, the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ.
God bless you. You may be seated. This is 83 in your hymn book. The brothers would please come at this time.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tie. Oh, I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul.
Brother Hoover, if you'll come.
Oh, then sweeping up to glory, we'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Sister Stephanie again. I'm singing a song that she doesn't know, so just bear with us. But this song's been on my heart all week. Maybe it's just for me, maybe it's for you. Just worship the Lord.
Many times have you wondered how you made it this far? Well, that's God. When it wasn't as bad as it seemed, that was God. When you were sitting all alone without a friend to talk to, and a brother or sister called with words to uplift you, when it seemed help just come from out of the blue, that was God. Oh, that's God. He is walking in your darkest night. His spirit is descending with power and might, and his love, it surrounds me and wraps my soul safe and tight. Oh, that's God. He made a way for eternal life, came himself and he died. What a great sacrifice. Who nailed all my sins to the cross, brother, that's God. Now when your body came out of that sickness, oh, that was God. When you didn't have the money, but someone provided, that was God.
ground, but now there's food on your table, a place to lay down. Oh, look around at all of your blessings, brother, that's God. Oh, that's God who is walking in your darkest night. His Spirit is descending with power and soul safe and tight. Oh, that's God who made a way for eternal life. Came himself and he died. What a great sacrifice. Who nailed all my sins to the cross? Brother, that's God.
Appreciate that, Brother Hoover. What a wonderful message. We have so much to be thankful for and so much around us that's God. If we just, you know, the old man said, all I've seen my, I don't know if he said 30 years, I can't, I'm paraphrasing, but Brother Bram, they asked that old man, have you seen God? He said, all I've seen is God. So I look out here and it's the life of Christ that I see out here sitting here. So it's good to be part of the body of Christ this evening. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. In your hymn book, if you don't know it.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, appointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson glow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within. Oh, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. And oh, I want to see him and look up on his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night. Oh, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside. Oh, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. Oh, I want to see him and look up on his face. Forever of his saving grace. Our cares all pass, home at last, never to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, oh, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, he's guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look up on his face, there to sing saving grace. On the streets of glory, Lord, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. Oh, he's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look up on his face, there to sing forever of him. Oh, when before me billows rise from the mighty deep, well then my
it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Not my father or my mother. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Not my sister or my brother. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, yes, it's me. Oh, it's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. You need a touch from Him tonight? Prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father or my mother. Lord, it's me. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Not my sister or my brother. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, yes, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. Oh, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that we can take our needs to when we need prayer? Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at this thought again tonight on the mind of Christ. And turn with me, if you would, again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Let's read that tonight again. Just looking forward to what the Lord would have in store for us. Amen. We never know exactly what it's going to be, what type of service it'll be, but we know as long as He shows up, everything will be just right. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why don't we just say that last sentence together? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Jesus, Lord, here we stand again tonight in the need of prayer. Lord, from the pulpit to the back, to the basement, Lord, to those that'll maybe go back and hear it afterwards, Lord, each one of us, we're a needy people, Lord. We need prayer. We need Your help. We need Your guidance. Lord, we look around Satan's Eden. We see so much turmoil and hurt. And Lord, so much that Your people face, Father. And I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would come on the scene tonight, encourage each one in divine presence. Give them exactly what they have need of tonight, I pray, Lord. May You come and do exceedingly abundantly as only You can. Lord, I don't have the words. I don't have the ability. But Lord, I imagine when David stood out there and he picked up that sling and he walked down to the creek there and picked up a few rocks, he recognized that his ability and his strength, his knowledge of war up beside Goliath, it looked hopeless. But he wasn't depending on himself to fight this battle because it wasn't his battle to begin with. But the battle was Yours. Lord, so we give the battle to You tonight. We give this service to You tonight. We give everything that each person would be facing tonight. We give it to You. Lord, not by our power, not by our might, but by Your Spirit. That's how we fight our battles. Lord, I pray that You would come and anoint me tonight, Lord, not that I would get glory from it, but where You would get the glory from it, Father. As I'll read the quote in a few moments, Brother Branham praying at the beginning of his service, probably feeling similar to how I feel tonight. He said, Father, if You'll just get in the Word, Father. Oh my, we know, Lord, You're the author of the Word. But if Your Spirit will come and get in the Word and quicken it to us tonight, we can go out of here better than when we came in, Father, encouraged and strengthened and ready to face another day. Lord, we give the battle to You in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, Amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. I don't have a whole lot of notes tonight, so that usually means the service will be real long. Because, you know, you would expect that to make it shorter, but it doesn't seem like it ever works out that way. But Brother Branham says in The True Vine and the False Vine, 1955, he's praying at the beginning of his service, just as we did a few moments ago. And he says, now we're under expectations of knowing not what to say. It's a strange way to put it, isn't it? But I know how he feels. We're under expectations of knowing not what to say, but thou hast promised. What a thing to come to a pulpit, Brother Lee, with expectations, knowing that you don't know what to say, but depending that he made the promise. If you open your mouth, I will fill it. And we believe that you'll do it. So we commit all these things to you tonight. And you get into the word, if you will, Father. We know that the Holy Ghost feeds on the word. And may the Holy Spirit of God take the word and give it to every heart just as we have need of it. Is that your desire tonight? Father, you get in the word because we know that the Holy Ghost feeds on the word. Now we know that we feed on the word, but it's a strange thing many times for us to think that the Holy Ghost would come and feed on the word. But that's God. God loves his own word. You ever been around somebody that just loves to hear the sound of their own voice? Well, God's not exactly like that in a prideful way or selfish way or something like that. But when God speaks something, it's pure and perfect and holy and righteous and true and unending. And so God loves his word. He loves to hear us talk about his word. Remember, Brother Bam tells us many times, he said, those that were on the road to Emmaus there, here they were heartbroken. Here, everything that they thought was a certain way, now suddenly devastation has come, and it wasn't the way they thought it was going to be at all. They had all their hopes tied up in this man, and now he's laying in a tomb, and it was a borrowed tomb. He didn't even have money to buy his own tomb, but now they had all these plans, and they had it all figured out, how life was going to be, and how that he was going to come, and he was going to rule. And he was going to take over the kingdom, and he was going to rule as king of Israel, and he was going to take back the empire from the Romans, and everything was just going to be right. And they had great anticipations. They had seen God come. They had seen him walk in a flesh body. They had handled him. They had slept right beside him in a tent, maybe in a sleeping bag. They had been in the same boat with him and see them catch fishes where there had been no fish a few moments before, being fished. Fishermen and knowing the waters and knowing the habits and things of the fish, and they had fished all night with every trick in the book, but yet he said, what's wrong is you're casting on the wrong side. Cast on the right side of the boat. And so God would come and he would dwell in a flesh body, and they had great expectations of what it would be, but now there was a letdown that came because it wasn't the way that they had it figured out in their mind. We get in that position many, many times. Things don't go the way we had it figured out in our mind, and then there's a letdown. You know, that's how a lot of people wind up walking away from the truth, whether it be walking away from the message or walking away from Christianity altogether, straight into atheism. Usually, if you'll trace it back, it's because they had their confidence in the wrong thing, and then there was a letdown that came. They had their confidence in a man or a church or a doctrine, or they had their confidence in themselves. And then when they realized that all those things failed them, there was a letdown because they had their eyes on the wrong thing to begin with. But the Holy Ghost feeds on his own word. And now these two coming from Emmaus, as they would walk and talk together. And Brother Bam said when they begin to talk about him, that's when he drew near to them. Amen. I wonder if that's why we don't feel him more on our jobs and in our schools and in our homes and even in our fellowship together as believers. I wonder if we don't feel his presence less than we should because we're talking about everything else. But the Holy Ghost feeds on the word. And so when we begin to talk about the word, there's something about it. Now, Paul, even when he picks it up there in Corinthians and he's talking about deceivers that were coming, and some were preaching Christ of contention, and some were preaching Christ for their own gain, and some were preaching Christ for popularity and all these things. He said, yet with all of that, at least Christ is being preached. And it's hard for us to look at it that way sometimes. Well, I didn't like the way this brother did it, and I didn't like the way this one said it, and I don't like the way this one is handling their finances or their family or whatever it would be. But Paul looks at it and he says, whether by pretense or whether by contention or however it would be, at least Christ is being preached. So even somebody with the wrong motive, if they're talking about God, at least God's being talked about. The problem is, a lot of people, you can't even get them to talk about God in the first place. They want to talk about everything else. But the Holy Spirit feeds on His own word. So there's something about it when you try to take all these other things, when you try to run your own intellectual conceptions and you try to run worked up emotion and you try to do all these things, nothing against emotion. I believe the Holy Spirit can and does bring emotion, but there's a difference between emotion being brought and you working up the emotion. So the Holy Spirit cannot feed on worked up emotion. He cannot feed on intellectual conceptions. He cannot feed on some man-made theology. There's something about it. There's people that they come with the best of intentions and all kinds of ideas. A brother had just texted us, me and a couple of the minister brothers today, and was talking to us about a four-hour conversation he'd had with a brother. And this brother, no doubt, was very excited emotionally, and he was very worked up intellectually. He had tried to connect dots and had all kinds of ideas that he was trying to project to this brother, but yet the Holy Spirit cannot come into something and bless it and feed on it if it's contrary to what His Word said in the first place. The Holy Spirit, when He comes and begins to bless something, when is it? It's when we get in line with His Word. Amen. Oh my, now we elbow our neighbor and say, see there? Yeah, if you just get in line with God's Word. Well, let's turn that mirror right around the other way and look at ourselves for a while tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Moses could not sit down and pick up his pen. You know, Brother Branham, when he was out there in the woods, and he tells it in spoken word as the original seed, and in 1962, and then he comes around and injects that portion into the Church Age book as well there. And we refer to it as pick up your pen and write, because that's what the angel of the Lord told him, said pick up your pen and write. And he began to write many things about the bride that sadly, a lot of message believers or so-called message believers don't even believe today. But the Holy Ghost began to guide his hand to write these words. He was not writing the thoughts of William Branham when he picked up his pen and wrote, but he was writing the thoughts of God Himself towards His bride. So no man-made opinion can change God's thoughts about His bride. Now, it would have been nice and it might have been encouraging. We can go back many times and read things, daily devotionals and things like that, that maybe somebody has sit down with an intellectual conception of the word. Maybe they've wrote wonderful things and maybe it encourages us, and it may even have been God that was anointing them. And then you can see other times when it's just some little cute psychological thing or something like that. And why was it? They realized that day, I better write something for this book that I'm writing, and I need to have something else, and so I'll just pick up my pen and begin to write something. Maybe they were thinking on a thought that day or whatever, and they begin to write it out. Maybe good intentions, maybe sweet, maybe all that. But if it's contrary to God's word in any way, then it cannot be that it was God that had them pick up the pen and write it. Because when God picks up and He begins to write, remember, God, there was many times that God wrote Himself. There was a time on Mount Sinai when God came down and with the finger of God began to write the Ten Commandments. Then Moses' temper got the best of him, and he went and broke those, and he had to go and chisel him out another set, and God just repeated the words back to him, told him what to write. But they had the first set that he brought down, the finger of God wrote those tablets. Can you imagine getting mad enough to break something up that God wrote? Well, some of you is not honest, and some of you is. My, I imagine pastoring 2 million people, Sister Jeannie. I might have been mad enough to break anything that I could get my hands on. And so God wrote this with his own finger. It was not the thoughts of Moses that he came packing back down the mountain. It was not the thoughts of Daniel when Belteshazzar asked him to come and interpret the writing on the wall, that they saw a man's hand come down and supernaturally write on the wall, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin, you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting." It wasn't the hand of Daniel. It wasn't the thoughts of Daniel, but it was God himself that came and wrote. And when God began to write through the prophets, it was not just Isaiah's cute little thought that he got that day, or Ezekiel that, you know, he'd been in a fight with his wife and he thought, "Well, bless God, I'm to go in here and write something to get back at her." But if it was really scriptural and really anointed, which if it's in the Bible, we believe that it is and know that it is, then it was not that it was the will of those men. It was not the will of Moses. It was not the will of Isaiah or Ezekiel, but they caught a glimpse into the mind of God and they began to be moved by the Holy Spirit, and they would pick up their pen and begin to write God's love story to us. Can you imagine being so in tune with God that you would pick up a pen and you would begin to write words that weren't even your thoughts, but they were his thoughts? Oh, yeah, I can imagine it. Hey, man, I believe any minister brother that's ever truly preached under the anointing can imagine what that's like when God gets a hold of the word and does something with it. With all of our best intentions, we can study and we can probe into the word. We can memorize the scriptures and the quotes, and we can compile notes together. And all of that is wonderful and good, and we should do it. But if we come up and we begin to lay those things out to the people and it's just the thoughts or the agenda or the itinerary of a man, it'll fall flatter than a pancake. But if God gets in the word, then lives begin to be changed. People's directions begin to change. Families begin to change. Amen. Medical records begin to change. Physical structures of people's bodies begin to change. Amen. Don't put that back there in Galilee. We have x-ray proof of that God still can rearrange the chemistry and the bone structure in people's bodies. Amen. We've got a sister sitting here tonight. Now, when Brother Branham prayed for that little boy in South Africa, his leg was 18 inches shorter than the other one, and it came down right there, and the people saw it. But we have a sister that her leg was 2 inches shorter, and God healed her over a period of a month or two. She'd been that way for 20 years, and God changed her bone structure. I'm not gonna lie about her age, but or try to tell you her age, but when you're past 50, we'll put it that way, you don't grow anymore. You shrink. But God does the supernatural. And he can reverse the process of your natural body. That's what he did with Adam, or with Abraham and Sarah. He reversed the direction, the process of the time of the aging of their natural body. He's going to do that with us one day. Amen. All science tells you that you're headed one direction, and that's to be gray and stooped over and be in a casket one day. But I have more than a medical book. I have more than a history of what all man has been back down through time before me. I know one that came up out of the grave, and he's alive forevermore. Amen. So he can reverse the direction that you're headed, whether that's physically or geographically or emotionally or mentally or spiritually or whatever it would be. God can get a hold of something and change the direction. Brother Branham would pick up his pen and write the thoughts of God. And some people would scoff at that, but that's not anything new to anybody that knows the scripture. How do you think this entire book was written by many different men? I forget how many different men that it is over a period of thousands of years. And they would pick up their pens or their quill or their chisel or whatever it was, and they would begin to write out the words of God, and not one of them contradicted each other. You go back and read some of your emails from 5 years ago, and you probably don't even think the way that you was thinking back then. You'll be contradicting yourself. But these men wrote, and not one of them contradicted each other. Amen. Why? Because it was the thoughts of God that was being projected through them. Now, if he can do that for these men back there, he can do it for you, to where if you have a need and you don't know where to turn and what to do, God can project his thoughts to you. Now, I want to say we have to be careful many times. Brother Bram said there was people that would come in the Pentecostal realms, and they'd say, now you just sit there and open up your minds. And you know, that's good Buddhism, or it's good yoga or something like that, I guess. But he said, when you do that, you just open yourself up to anything, all kinds of evil spirits and things. He said, it's not just sitting there and opening up your mind, but what is it? It's opening up your heart to the Word of God. Because the devil will come in and try to put any kind of thought in your mind. I had a brother tell me one time, he said a pastor had told him, said, the way I find the will of God, he said, I just begin to pray about something. He said, when a thought just pops in my mind, he said, that I know that's the will of God. He said, well, I'm glad I don't do that. He said, I'd go out and murder somebody or do something terrible if I just went off of every thought that popped into my mind. You can't, that's not how you follow God. But if a thought pops in your mind, you better go back and make sure that it's correct with the Scripture. Brother Branham said that angel had never told him anything that had been wrong in all the years that he had heard him come to him. And he said, but if he ever told me anything that was contrary to this, I wouldn't believe it. Amen. I don't care how much confidence you have in a man or a woman or a boy or a girl or whatever it be. If they come and tell you something contrary to this, angel, messenger, prophet, king, priest, preacher, evangelist, teacher, missionary, whatever it be, you stay with the Word of God. Amen. Seventh seal, 1963, he said, when the supernatural comes in, that's the mind of Christ. We know that that's the mind of Christ. Now, God can work through the natural. We've seen that. We have word to prove that. Brother Bram said God heals through touch, and he heals through love, and he heals through surgery, and he heals through medicine and things like that. So we know that God can take something natural and work through it. But when we see something supernatural come, then we know that that's God, because a human being cannot produce the supernatural. Oh, you might be able to produce some mental workup, and you might be able to produce some emotion, and you might be able to jump up and down and get excited, and that might be wonderful if it's really God that's making you excited, or it could just be that you're puffed up in yourself or whatever it would be. But when the supernatural comes, then we know that it's God. Samson could stand there, and no doubt Samson is a man. You know, I don't know. Brother Ben said he was just a curly-headed shrimp there like David, so he probably wasn't much of a man to look at. He said, you know, we see the paintings and things of him, and he's a great big burly man. He said that would be no mystery that he could pick up the gates and carry him and things like that if he was some prehistoric giant of a man. But when they saw this little stooped over guy coming along, and maybe Samson in his own strength, I don't know, maybe he could have whooped up on one or two Philistines with his own might, or maybe if they'd give him a sword and a fighting chance. But when 1,000 of them came against him, and he picks up an old dried jawbone of a donkey and he begins to fight him off, something supernatural took place. Amen. Amen. And Samson could not say, look what a great guy I am, look how powerful, look how mighty Samson is. He had to acknowledge it was God that got in the jawbone, it was God that got in his arms and his feet and his muscles, because there was nothing natural that he could do to accomplish what he did. But when the supernatural comes, then it's the mind of Christ. Anytime we look into the Scriptures, or we look into our own lives, or we look into the Message, and we see the supernatural being done, as I've said many times, for those that question and walk away, I just have the same question Jesus had to him about John the Baptist. Was the ministry of Brother Branham, was it of above or not? Amen. Was it of God or not? And if they say it's not, then I want them to come and prove me how that the devil healed all those people in his ministry. Because God said, Jesus said rather, that Satan cannot cast out Satan. And there he stood night after night casting out the devil. When the supernatural comes, it's the mind of Christ. When we see the supernatural, I would love if every service we could come in and just see the supernatural, see something exceeding abundantly. We heard the story down there in Virginia, how that even some unbelievers sitting present had seen the pillar of fire come down in a funeral and come across the front of the platform, and even some flowers that had begun to die and wither, when the pillar of fire began to cross over, it stood up straight with life back in them. Oh, how do they explain that away? When the supernatural comes, it's the mind of Christ. There is nothing that man can do to produce that. When the supernatural comes and tumors begin to fall off of people and cancers begin to die in people's bodies, we can't explain that naturally, so we have to give the glory to God. Amen. Brother Nathan, Brother Trevor, Brother Hoover, all these brothers, we don't get the glory when something like that happens, because if there was something that I could do to produce that, then we'd do it every night. Amen. But when the supernatural comes and the mind of Christ begins to anoint his word and he begins to get amongst his people and work, then we begin to see the supernatural take place. Brother Branham says that at that word in 1950, remember a couple weeks ago we read a similar quote, but this one's not the same, it's just similar. He says it is psychology in one way. It's the mind of Christ in the Christian moving. See, it's not our mind, not our psychology, but the power of Christ, his mind. His mind. Somebody said, oh my, all this, you know, discerning of the thoughts and things. So that's just psychology. It's mind reading. And he said, I guess it is mind reading if you think of it this way. In the scriptures, Jesus, it said, looked upon them and perceived their thoughts. So was that mind reading or what was it? But no, mind reading, you remember the old, the old psychic or whatever, they'll try to look into your eyes and try to figure out all these different things and guesswork and psychology and all of that. But we had one in our day that came, not a soothsayer, not a psychic, not a this, that, or the other, but he would turn his back to the audience and not look at anybody in the face and say, over here there's one that's got this and over there there's one got that. And he said, who did they touch? They didn't touch William Branham. Amen. They didn't touch the coat of Brother Branham. They didn't touch his hands, but they touched the high priest, who is still able to be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. So what is it? It's when the mind of Christ, he says in that quote we read a few weeks ago, he said, if psyche is the mind, he said, then it is psychology, and the fact that you know, it's God comes and he gets into your thinking. Oh my, I wish he would just do it all the time. Amen. I wish I could stay so in tune with God that it would just force every thought of the devil out to where there would be no temptation and all those things. But as we heard Brother Branham, Rebecca and I listened into a tape today, he said, that doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake or that you're immune to those things. He said, you'll never get away from that. And questions and answers number two, I think it's in 1954 there. He says, you'll never get away from that. But what is it? It's that the mind of Christ coming into you, as we looked at over the last few weeks, it changes that desire within you. Amen. The mind of Christ moving and working through you so that he can use you. Brother Branham said when he stood there and that killer bull began to charge him, and he said he had love. You know, a lot of us can't have love for our neighbor. A lot of us can't have love, not real true kind of love like we ought to have, agape love for somebody that attends a different church or believes a little different doctrine or somebody that's running from the Lord or somebody that's done something that really just rubs us the wrong way or that we don't agree with. It's hard for us to love somebody like that. And this man could stand there and so surrendered to the will of God that he could have love for a bull that was charging at him that wanted to gore his intestines out. Right. He said, oh, how I wish it would happen all the time. When hornets would swarm around his body and just a strike from two or three of them would have probably put him in a coma. And here he is, swarmed around by hundreds of them. And he says, I'm sorry I disturbed you. I don't know what I would have said, Brother Lee. I hope that God would have quickened that to me. But Nathan Bryant wouldn't have said that. I might have said, oh, Lord Jesus, I plead the blood. And if I've done anything wrong, please forgive me. Now lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake... I don't know what I would have said, but he said, I'm sorry I disturbed you. Amen. Most of us would have been saying, Lord, please forgive me for that thing I did yesterday. And Lord, please, we would have been trying to get everything right because we thought we were coming right down to the river. And he's not concerned about himself or his past or anything. He says, I'm sorry that I disturbed you. Why? Because it wasn't the thoughts of William Branham. The thoughts of William Branham would have been scared and swatting and praying and crying and pleading with the blood of Jesus just like you and I would, because he was a man of like passions just like we are. But what was it? Something he got in a channel where it was no longer the mind of William Branham, but it was the mind of Christ. And he said, now I'm sorry I disturbed you. Go back to your home and I won't disturb you anymore. And he said, they all lined up single file and just blew back to their nest. Amen. If you think that was the mind of just the mind and the thoughts of William Branham, you go out and command some hornets sometimes and tell me how that works out. Amen. Unless it's the mind of Christ speaking through you, it won't work the way that it did for him. But he said, oh, I wish it would happen all the time. And a man that would keep his word. Oh, my, they say all these things, you know, come up with all these ideas and thoughts and opinions of him. And Brother Hoover said when his grandma, Brother Branham called her Mammy Hoover, came there to work, and he began to lay out all the duties that she had as far as watching the children and things, he took her out in the backyard, and he said, now back over there in the corner, he said, you see that stake by the tree there? He said, there's a hornet's nest right there. And he said, don't let the children play around that, because I made them a promise that we wouldn't disturb them if they wouldn't disturb us. A man that kept his word to hornets, and they think that he was all these things. Come too late to tell me. El Shaddai, 1960. You've got to completely surrender your own thoughts, your own will, your own mind, and let the mind of Christ operate in you. If you want to accomplish something for the kingdom of God as an individual, as a family, as a church, whatever it would be, lay down your pride and your selfishness and your self-will and your own thoughts and poor pitiful me, and this one did this and that one said that to hurt me, and I've got a chip on my shoulder now. Completely surrender all of that. Surrender your own thoughts. Surrender your own will. Surrender your own mind and let the mind of Christ begin to operate through you. You'll see people different. You'll treat people different. You'll react to things differently when you surrender yourself to the mind of Christ. You'll be able to see the sinner on the street differently than you did before when you look at him through Jesus' eyes. You'll begin to look at your children and your spouse and your boss and your coworker and the deacons and the trustees and the Sunday school teachers. You'll begin to look differently if you can ever look with his eyes and think with his thoughts. He says, now do you think Christ would the mind of Christ in you would say the days of miracles is past? Do you think the mind of Christ in you would say the Bible's right in some places and not in others? The mind of Christ would sanction every word that Christ ever said. Amen. It's right. So if you don't use your own mind, just use his mind. That's where we get in trouble. We use our mind. We're going to figure it all out. We're going to put all these quotes together and bless God, we're going to prove so and so wrong, or we're going to put all these scriptures together and we're going to do. Don't use your mind. Use his mind. Think his thoughts. When the devil begins to come in and begins to try to question, what about this over here in Chronicles? And what about this over here in Kings? And what about that over there in 47? And he begins to attack your mind and things like that. You have to think, well, now wait a minute. If the Holy Spirit sent the word, would it be the Holy Spirit that would come and try to get me to doubt his word? So then you begin to recognize who it is that's talking to you. And when he begins to talk to me, you know, I don't want to do like Eve did and try to reason it out with him and say, now, Mr. Devil, let's just have a conversation about this, because I'm pretty smart in the word too. And I've got quite a few quotes and scriptures memorized, and I've been a pastor for so many years, and I've been raised in this here message. So let me just tell you a thing or two. You don't have it figured out intellectually more than the devil does. He's had a lot more time and practice, and he's dealt with every spirit and every type of person that's ever been. He's seen ones just like you in previous ages, and he knows right where to hit you and right where your punches are coming through. So when you recognize that it's him talking, then you can just stop the conversation and say, I don't want to talk to you. I've got somebody else that I have a desire to talk to and commune with. Amen. I never find any spot in the scriptures, unless it's to cast out a devil, I find no spot in the scriptures or the message that encourages us to commune with devils or spirits. Amen. Or anything like that. No, that's spiritualism, to try to talk to the dead or talk to some spirit or whatever it be. I'm only interested in speaking with one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And if I'm talking and I think that it's him that I'm talking to, and then he begins to put a thought in my mind or begins to say something back to me in my mind or however it would be, or begins to approach something through a person, through an argument or whatever it be, and it's contrary to his word, then I recognize that can't be him talking, because he cannot deny his own word. Might be somebody's own intellectual experience talking. Might be the way that their mommy or their daddy put it together and compiled it together, the way they heard somebody else in the message say it. But it can't be the mind of Christ if it contradicts his own word. As I thought on my way, 1959, we cannot alter God's word. We have to alter our thinking to his thinking. Once again, we're so quick to now, oh my, wait till I get out of service and share this with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, that they can't try to alter God's word. They have to alter their thinking. But once again, turn that mirror back around the other way and look full in his wonderful face Look full into the mirror of God's Word and make sure that we aren't trying with the selfish motive to try to alter the Word of God to fit our own desires. Amen. You can't alter God's Word. You have to alter your thinking to His thinking. Oh, but I want this. I want it this way. I want it my way. I have all these ideas. I have all these plans. I have this lifestyle. I have this projected thing that I'd like to see for my life. I'd like to marry this type of person. I'd like to have this type of job. I'd like to go to this type of school. Well, if that's contrary to the thoughts of God for your life, then you can't alter His Word into your thinking. Well, I think it'd be okay to do this, and maybe I can find a loophole through the Word here, and maybe I can just ignore these 573 quotes over here because I found half a paragraph squeezed in between here that I think can rub me the right way. Oh my, you can't alter God's Word. You have to alter your thinking to His thinking. Let the mind of Christ be in you, then you'll think like He thinks. You'll have His thoughts. When we begin to look into the Word and we see God's promises, and then we say, well, I'm just not sure. I don't know if I could attain to that. Mind ourselves, we can't, but alter your mind, alter your thoughts away from the negativity towards yourself or towards somebody else or whatever it would be, and say, Lord, this is what Your Word promised. Your Word promised my healing. And the doctor says it's impossible for me to be healed. And so my own humanistic natural thoughts is just to, well, they're smart and they've looked at all the charts and they've looked at all the records and they've looked at all the blood tests and the reports and things. And I guess they know their job. My natural instinct is just to accept what they're telling me, but I'm not going to alter Your Word to match what the doctor's thoughts or my thoughts or the way my body feels or the way I'm emotionally feeling right now. Lord, I'm not going to alter Your Word to match that and say, well, I guess this is just what God has for me, but I'm going to alter my thoughts and my actions to match what Your Word says. All right. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, 1962. The Word of God always attracts that spiritual mind because it is the mind of Christ in you that knows that that Word is true. When we come up against a portion of God's Word and we all of a sudden we hit a roadblock and, well, wait a minute, if that's true and I follow that line of thought and I do what God's Word is telling me, then I'm not going to get what my desire is. And so then we try to find somebody, you know, somebody will come and ask the pastor, well, what about this, Brother Nathan? What about this, Brother so-and-so? What do you think about marriage and divorce? What do you think about this? What do you think about how I should discipline my children? What do you think about how I should run my finances? What do you think about, scripturally, what do you think about some of these things? What do you think about all these different circumstances that come up in our lives and things? And that brother begins to show you by the Word, well, this is what the Word says. This is what the Scripture says. Now, if that's what the answer you were wanting, then you're just inclined to say, well, praise God. That's what I was looking for. Hallelujah. We love you, brother. We might start paying 12% on our tithes. We just love you so much, and we want to see the church prosper. But when the man stands, and instead of staying with what you're trying to get across to him and express to him, and he says, look, I don't care what your thought or your opinion is on it. I love you. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's absolutely contrary to the Word of God, and this is what the Word of God says, then what will you do? Well, I'll find somebody else that's smarter than him. I'll find somebody else that knows a little bit more than he does, and then you keep searching until you find somebody that finds you a good message loophole. You're looking for a message lawyer instead of a real man of God that'll stay with the Word of God. Amen. I'm not interested in finding loopholes. I want to find the mind of Christ. Brother Bram says, and as the eagle stirreth up her nest in 1960, oh, I like to have sheep food. Good food. The power of God, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost feeds on it. That's what the church needs tonight, is solid gospel preaching, gospel teaching, gospel salvation, and a gospel Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what he said in 1960 the church needs. Good, solid preaching, gospel teaching, gospel salvation, and a gospel Holy Ghost. Amen. We are not so interested in what this nation might not need a new president. Oh my, 1960, but still up to date, isn't it? This nation might not need a new president. The city might not need a new mayor. But what we need today is a good old-time St. Paul's revival and the Bible Holy Ghost back in the church again. That's what we need. Sheep feed on sheep food, not ecclesiastical weeds. Sheep don't feed on something that just tickles the ears of the choir and says, oh my, that's what we believed anyhow. So amen, brother. We'll get right behind you. We'll support you. Just keep tickling our ears. You know, the scripture said that they'd heap to themselves in the last days, teachers having itching ears. And so people go about from church to church if they're not careful and try to find somebody that'll tell them what they want to hear. Well, I didn't come tonight to tell you what you wanted to hear unless you wanted to hear just, Lord, just whatever it is. If it takes the hide off of me, if it you know, makes me feel like a hypocrite, or if it props me up, makes me feel like the biggest Christian in this whole area, whatever it is, Lord, just have him preach your word to me tonight. Amen. Amen. Then that's the only way that I came to preach what you wanted to hear. If you wanted me to come and preach you something that just, oh my, make you feel good about yourself, and oh my, attaboy, Brother Nathan, you just sure know how to get us worked up and excited, and you know how to just give us things that's just going to make us slap each other on the back and say, oh my, why, we're church of the open door. We're doing pretty good. We're better than the other guys. No, I didn't come to preach that to you tonight. Amen. I'm trying to give you sheep food, not ecclesiastical weeds. We need a St. Paul's revival and the Holy Ghost back in the church again. You know, in the days of Paul, when sin began to enter into the church and things, they packed them out the doors. Not because somebody got mad and pulled out a 9mm, but because the Holy Ghost came and took control of the service. A lot of people would be scared to come to church if that started happening. Brother Bram said the days of Ananias and Sapphira are returning to the church. I hope that people just get right with God so that we don't have to see those things. But he said, that's what we need. Sheep feed on sheep food, not ecclesiastical weeds. Oh, my. Shame on some of us message pastors that have got too tied up with trying to beat out the fires and the flames of ecclesiastical weeds instead of just feeding the sheep food. A lot of ministers, they spend more time in the pulpit trying to prove everybody else wrong and show how right they are and how wrong everybody else is. Oh, this group over here, they're wrong. And then you hear that group over there, well, we're right and they're wrong. And they're the reason for this and they're the cause of this around the message. And then that group will say, no, it's not us. It's them big hypocrites over there. They're the reason this guy left and they're the reason this happened. They're the reason this took place. What is it? Ecclesiastical weeds, preaching politics and trying to pet up the flesh and work up a doctrine instead of just feeding the people sheep food. Shepherds feed sheep food. You know, sometimes when you're training a sheep, it's hard and it's cutting. You know, Jesus tells the story of the 99 that the man left behind, and he goes out over this one little lost sheep. You know, and a lot of us, we would have said, bless God, the 99, they're good, faithful tithe payers, and here they are, they're pecking out the doors. I'm not wasting my time on that one that wants to argue and fuss with me and criticize everything I do. Anyhow, let that guy go. We're better off. The 99 are a lot happier without that one. That's how a lot of message churches are. Oh, they went out from us because they wasn't one of us. They, you know, that was when Paul was talking to them, and Peter and those great men of old. They were talking about people that left the word and went back to the world, not somebody that you know, got their feelings hurt or saw something wrong with the service and felt led to go to a different assembly. That's not what Paul was talking about, or Peter. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That's what we need, sheep food. Sheep fed on sheep food, not ecclesiastical weeds. And so Jesus tells the story of a man who would go way out after this little lost sheep. And Brother Branham said there was a story one time of a man that had to do that. And he said that this sheep kept getting out of his pen, and he began to go out, and he said, I knew the wolf was going to kill him. And said, so they saw the man coming carrying this little sheep, and he had his little leg broke. And they said, what happened? He said, he keeps getting out, and I had to break his leg and nurse him back to health to let him know, hey, you keep getting out of the shepherd's love and a wolf is going to eat you alive out there. And they said, oh, that cruel shepherd. No, it wasn't cruel. It was the love of the shepherd to that sheep. It might seem cruel to us, but sometimes the word does that. Sometimes it's harsh and cutting. But then you see some congregations, and instead of it being 99 healthy ones and one over there with the little casts where the shepherd had to break his leg, you look out and you see all 100 with casts on their legs, where he thought, well, bless God, I guess I'll just break every one of their legs because this one starts getting out. That's a sadist, not a shepherd. That's somebody that likes to cause people pain. It brings them pleasure to see somebody have pain. No, we're not interested in being sadists. We're shepherds. And sometimes the shepherd has to bring corrections, and sometimes it hurts. But if you're just out to hurt everybody and send everybody to hell and nobody has a chance, oh my, that's pretty bad. It's hypocritical is what it is. Because then the shepherd stands there as the self-righteous one and all those little bad sheep, probably because he had one person or one family or something that he needed to deal with. And so then he begins to just go through and break the whole herd's legs. Pitiful. Not a shepherd's heart. A shepherd won't do that. Well, praise the Lord. Some of you is wishing it was time to dismiss. The Seal of the Christ, 1955. You get that bunch of lukewarm church members down to the altar and let them pray through to the Holy Ghost sets their souls afire. There'll be no signing cards. God's in their heart. God goes to church. He loves to worship. He's talking about how a man had a local minister there had to come and tell him, said, Brother Branham, I had to have everybody sign a card that they come to church, Sunday school and things, so many services a year. And Brother Branham said he'd just been down there and had seen this girl that he had to go and drop off a utility bill or something to there. And he said there she was skipping through the house with hardly enough clothes on to wad a shotgun and the radio playing in the background, toodly, toodly, toodly or whatever. And he said she came through there and somebody said, come on down to the whatever it is down here. We're having a big get together, shindig and dance and all this stuff. And she said, oh, see you over there, honey pie, to the radio. And he said, you think he'd have to have her sign a card to get her to go down to the dance? Amen. You get God in the people's heart, and you don't have to call them three times a week to see if they died or got ran over by a train or whatever it be. Why? Because God is in their hearts, and God goes to church, and he loves to worship. Amen. Amen. Oh, if somebody misses church, Brother Nathan, you're trying to say that they don't have God in their heart? No. No, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying if you make a habit of it and you become a stranger in the house of God, there's something wrong on the inside of you, because God didn't just say, I'm going to stay in the corridors of heaven and, you know, I'll let all those other filthy guys down there worry about themselves. But God came down from the thrones of heaven and he came and tabernacled himself among men, and then he died on a cross, rose again, and came back and tabernacled himself in human beings. And so if you say you have the Spirit of Christ, there's something about it. You'll want to tabernacle yourself together with other believers of like precious faith. Amen. Amen. Because God loves to worship. God doesn't just worship on Sunday and Wednesday. God loves to worship 7 days a week. Amen. Why Christ Speak, 1963. He says, but there is only one real church. Oh, my. We've been waiting for this, Brother Branham. Where are you going to tell us this at? There's only one true church. Is it Church of the Open Door, Branham Tabernacle, Bible Believers, Happy Valley, Cloverdale, Evening Light? Where's it at, Brother Branham? Tell us. We want to go. Why cry? There's only one place, only one real church, he says. And you don't join it. You're born in it. Amen. See, and if you're born in it, the living God works himself through you and making himself known. See, that's where God dwells in his church. God goes to church every day. Just lives in church. He lives in you. You're his church. You are his church. Remember, now a lot of people use this quote to stay home, but let's read the rest of the quote before we say that, all right? Amen. I'm not just stopping here and cutting it off. We'll read the rest of it. But he says, you're his church. You know, if you weren't here tonight and this was just an empty building, it's just a building like any other building. These beams and this drywall and those windows, those are not holy windows or holy doors or holy beams or holy carpet. At least as long as the trustees keep an eye on it, it won't be holy. No holes in it. You explain to the blonde beside you. Brother Branham said the mountain, Mount Sinai, was holy as long as God was on the mountain. But you could go to Mount Sinai today and walk up and down it, and the presence of God might meet you there if you're right in your heart. But God doesn't just dwell on Mount Sinai anymore. The presence of God was in Solomon's temple, and he dwelt there. Back in Solomon's days, it was a holy temple because a holy God was in it. But it's not a holy church or a holy people or a holy address or a holy house or whatever it be. But it's a holy God living in people. Brother Branham said the beauty of the church is not the how high the steeple is and how nice the shingles are and all that. I'm paraphrasing. But he said the beauty of the church is the character of the people. Amen. So you are the church. You take you away and all we have is a building. But the scripture didn't say stay at home and be your own individual church. It said forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You are his church. You are the tabernacle that God dwells in. You are the church of the living God yourself. And if the living God lives in his living being, then your action is of God. If it isn't, then God isn't in there. He wouldn't make you act like that. When he says in the word, here his blueprint, don't do it, and you go do it, see, that's wrong. When you deny it, then that shows the life isn't even in you. See, that's right. Amen. And yet how many, you can lay them out quote after quote and scripture after scripture and all these things that the word of God says, well, I just don't believe it that way. I don't think that's for me. I prefer to do it this way. Well, then I question if the living God is tabernacling on the inside of you, if you're presented with his word over and over and over again and you decide to take your own selfish way instead of coming back and doing what the word of God says. Amen. Brother Branham tells us in Christ is the Mystery of God revealed in 1963, he says that God had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. He had a mystery, and Christ was the mystery of God revealed, and he had a threefold purpose in this great mystery. Now, he tells us that the first of this threefold purpose, the first was to express himself completely, God in Christ. And then the second was to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, till he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. Amen. The first of this threefold purpose, he wanted to come and express himself. Christ was the mystery of godliness. Remember, this is the mystery that Christ was, God was expressing himself to the world through Christ. God had tabernacled himself in the flesh of Jesus Christ, and now he comes and expresses himself and reveals himself. And Brother Branham said all that God was, all that the fatherhood dispensation was, he poured out into Christ, the sonship dispensation, and then all that Christ was, he came back and poured out in the Holy Ghost dispensation in his bride, in his church. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Now, anybody that claims to be a Christian, we get excited about Christ coming and God expressing himself through Christ. And most of us that are message believers, we can get excited and we can amen when somebody comes about, talks about Christ veiling himself again in this age and coming and expressing himself through a prophet. But he didn't stop there. He said his desire was to express himself through a many-membered bride. And you are the body of Christ here on the earth right now. God wanted to express himself. Brother, I think Brother Trevor was talking about a brother recently that explained it this way, talking about that scripture that she is him and how that applied to how God would come and he would express himself through the bride, but yet it would be the bride that was reflecting him. It wasn't that she was there to express that it wasn't that the bride was to take and control God and express him to the people and say, let me show you what I can do. But it was God was coming and expressing himself through his bride. So the way that he lived, that the people would be able to see Christ being expressed again in this age. That they would be able to see him, his reaction and his actions and what he would do and how he would treat somebody. And there are people out here that are dying for love, Brother Branham said. Sadly, a lot of them in message churches. And they stumble through these doors and they're hurt and battered and scarred. And they've got all kinds of things that they, you know, even their reaction. You know, it's like a little kid. You be around a little kid that's been abused and you go to pat them on the back and they duck like this, you know. And as a pastor, I can get around people that have had some spiritual abuse and just say a few things to them. And they begin to spiritually duck a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have. Oh, my. And you can see the pattern of abuse. And people hurting, people grieving, people facing things, facing decisions, facing demons out of hell every day that are trying to destroy them. And they need somebody to express the love of Christ to them. Amen. It's easy for us to wave a Bible under their nose. It's easy for us to shake a message book in front of their face. Just do what he said. Well, why don't you do what he said and live the life before him? Amen. It's easy for us to put our foot down and say, bless God, this is what it says. But to express the life of Christ so that others can see it, that takes more than being able to recite some words. That takes more than intellectual conception or an emotional workup of, bless God, I feel so good today, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That's wonderful if it's God moving through you. But if it's just an emotional workup, you'll fall flat on your face just like the seven sons of Sceva did. They got excited about the word of God, but they didn't have the leading of God. They were excited about what God was doing in their day, but they didn't have the authority to put it into action because they didn't have the mind of Christ. And the demon began to testify to him. Said, hey, I know all about Jesus. I was cast out in his meetings many times. I know all about Paul. Oh my, he cast me out down in this city the other day. I know about Paul and I know about Jesus. But who are you, buddy? Who do you think you are? And he began to jump on them and tear them and rip their clothes off of them. Why? Because they didn't have the authority to do it. Because they were going by their own thoughts instead of the mind of Christ. Now here they were trying to do something scriptural. The scripture said they shall lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover, they shall cast out demons in my name and all these different things. They were trying to do something scriptural, but without the mind of Christ leading them to do it. So you see, it's more than just being able to compile some quotes and scriptures and say, here you go, this is what you need to do. But to live the life of Christ expressed through human beings to where people can recognize that a human being can't love like that. A human being can't forgive like that. A human being can't come and give the answer to a problem like that. What is it? It's the mind of Christ working through his body. It's the mind of Christ that'll anoint a man. Many times when you're sitting there and you feel discouraged and dejected, And you don't know what to do, and God will anoint a man. He'll begin to come right down the line of the things that you're facing, and he'll begin to speak to certain things, and you'll sit there for a while and say, well, that's just that man. And then you sit there long enough and you recognize, well, he doesn't know this and he doesn't know that, and he certainly doesn't know the conversation I had in the car on the way here, and he doesn't know the thoughts that I had in my mind as I sat down to pray, and he doesn't know the scriptures that I read before service, and yet God led him right down through all those different things, and we begin to recognize that that's not something that a David Hoover or an Arnie Bird or a Nathan Bryant can do, or a Bill Layton or any other man. But what is it? It's when the Father comes down and gets in the Word, and the Word is still a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And we can ignore it and brush it aside and say, well, you know, maybe another service. Or we can recognize the mind of Christ is trying to deal with his people. Amen. He's trying to speak to us, not just through Brother Nathan. I thank God that he uses me and that he can anoint me and lead me and guide me to help certain people and do certain things. But this is all over the world. This isn't just a Church of the Open Door, just our handful of minister brothers here or deacon brothers or song leaders or whatever it be. I thank God that he gets in the midst and begins to move through people, and gifts and signs and wonders and miracles and things begin to take place. I thank God for that. But you know what? It's not just secluded to New Albany, Indiana. He's doing this all over the world. And many times people fail to recognize it because we've got so educated into the message that we think we know it all, and can't humble ourselves down to sit and say, God, what is your Spirit saying to me? What is the Spirit saying to the churches? What are you saying to me? When I turn on that tape, I don't want it to just be a, oh my, yep, that you got him there, Brother Branham. Amen. I can't wait to text that quote to Brother so-and-so and really get him. Oh my, yes, that was wonderful. So-and-so needs to hear this. But when we turn on that tape, Lord, what is the Spirit trying to speak to me from this tape? When we open up our Bible, as I said on Sunday, not just a checklist of, oh, well, I read my Bible today, but Lord, what is your spirit trying to speak to me today? Lord, I don't believe it was by coincidence that this is the verse and the chapter that I'm reading today. Lord, what are you trying to tell me through your word? I don't want to just skim over it so I can say I read five chapters today, Lord, but speak to me from your word. What is the spirit trying to tell me? Amen. He still works like that. He still moves like that. He can still get a hold of the word and quicken it. Maybe it won't be what we want to hear. But if it's him, you remember as we looked at Sunday night, there stood Peter, James, and John. And they had all kinds of good ideas of things to do and works that they wanted to do. And they were looking to this man and that man. And God speaks from heaven. And he said, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." Amen. When I come to church, I want to hear more than just Brother Trevor's vocal cords or Brother Furman's vocal cords or Brother Layton get up and read a psalm or preach a sermon to us. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. When I turn on a tape, I don't want to just hear it and say, oh my, I love to memorize those quotes and I love to hear this and I love to hear that. That's wonderful. But Lord, what are you speaking? I want to hear you speak from the tape. I want to hear you speak through that minister. I have needs in my life, and I need the word to come alive and quicken in my life to lead me and guide me. I need the mind of Christ. Amen. We need him in this age more than we have ever needed him before. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Lord, how we need the mind of Christ. Not our thoughts, not our thinking, not our agendas, Lord, but your thoughts. Lord, the way that you would have us treat one another, the way that you would have us speak to one another, the way that you would have us handle situations, the way that you would use us. Lord, the things that you would lay on our heart to do. Lord, we want to be sensitive to your spirit. We want you to come and take control, Lord. Move in a mighty way. Lord, I thank you that you lead me and guide me, Lord, and how my heart, my desire is to seek you more than I ever have before for your guidance. Lord, as I sent a quote to a brother the other day that was asking about pastors that taking vacations and things, and how your prophet warned us, said, don't ever get so busy, pastor, that you can't take time to hear that still small voice speaking. Lord, I don't think that's just to the pastors, but every one of us, Father, help us. Life gets so chaotic and we just try to jumble things together and make time for this. But Lord, we need you. We need your mind. We need your thoughts. We need the word to be quickened to us. We need to see past ourselves and past what tomorrow holds, past what the rest of the day, what our plan is, what our calendar says. We need to get a glimpse into the mind of God, a glimpse into the thoughts of an eternal God that is looking at things not just from an agenda or a calendar or a financial plan or whatever it would be, just some man-made put together of, I'm going to go do this next week. But Lord, you look through eternity and you know what's best for us. You know when we need correction and you know when we need encouragement. Lord, you know when to break our leg to get us into a closer fellowship with you, spiritually speaking, Lord. Then you know how to come back around and comfort us. Remind us of how much we need you. Lord, all one has to do today is pick up a newspaper and see that there's trouble on every hand. Lord, it's like we're reading through Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places and men's hearts failing for fear and diseases and famines and pestilence. And oh Lord, we see it being fulfilled because it's the end time. Lord, may we live in such a way that our hearts are ready, where our hearts are clear. Lord, as the man told Brother Branham, he said, I don't want no trouble when I come down to the river. Oh Lord, I don't want to get down. I have to quickly pray and make things right. Oh, Father, just give me 3 more minutes here. But give me life in my body. Give me breath to make this right and make that right and run over here and correct this with this person that I did and said. But, Lord, help us to live in a prayed-up condition that any moment, any hour, we'd be ready. Oh, Lord, help us to love like you love. Forgive like you forgive. Think like you think. Act like you act. Walk like you would walk. Express your love to others. Lord, many times we look, well, this one doesn't deserve love extended. We didn't deserve it, but you extended it anyhow. You loved us when we were unlovable, Lord. How could you love a wretch like me, Lord, but yet you did? You came down, gave your life for me. How can I ever repay? Lord, I don't have, Lord, the my physical blood, the genetics of my DNA, it's Bryant blood. It's not the blood of God, but yet I thank you that I'm robed in your righteousness and that your blood atones for me. But Lord, I can never repay what you did for me. But Lord, all I can do is just say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you all that I am, Lord. Lord, we fail to so many times because we get our thoughts in the way and our agendas and our programs and our all that we want to do, Lord, but help us, Jesus. May it not be our thoughts, may it not be us, but Lord, may we give ourselves so completely to you to where others would see Christ. Lord, you sent a prophet in this age. Lord, he didn't just tell us it could be done. He lived it. He proved it. He lived such a life to where his closest friends mistook him for you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my, I've got friends that I love, Lord, and not one of them has mistook me for you. Oh, maybe they've seen some of your attributes speaking through me. Maybe they've seen you change my life from what I used to be, Lord, but Lord, help us to live so close to you, not that somebody would mistake us for you because we want worship, but Lord, to where somebody could know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that person, I know they've got the Holy Spirit because I know what they used to be. And every time I get around them, they've got something good to say about somebody. I know how dejected they used to be, how the enemy used to beat them up and lie to them and keep them torn down all the time, and now they've got joy and peace. They used to be focused on all these temporary things out here that had no eternal value, and now every time you get around them, they want to talk about Jesus and what he's done in their life and how he's blessing them and using them. And oh God, may they see you in us. May we be that attribute. May we be that portion that you wanted to express to the people, part of your threefold purpose, of the mystery that you wanted to unfold. Lord, many times, Lord, we read Jesus. Lord, we read you into that. We read the prophet into that, but we forget many times to read ourselves into that, that we were part of that mystery, that you wanted to express yourself through us. We get so busy with other things, Lord, but may our prayer be each day, Lord, express yourself through me. Express yourself through me to my coworkers. Express yourself through me to my wife and my children, to those at church, Lord, those that are hurting, those that have needs. Express yourself through me to those at my school or those that I come in contact with down through the grocery and the gas stations and the airports and wherever you would lead me, Lord. Doctrinally, they might not agree with me. They might even make fun of me, Lord, but may they see there's something genuine, no matter what we say about him or how we treat him. There's something about it, that the love of Christ, he keeps expressing it anyhow. May that be our testimony tonight, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Oh, I feel the pull. I hear. And I know his Spirit's moving me to give my all. Oh, he speaks to me. Lord, speak. Speak to us through your word, through your Spirit. Lord, and quickly our soul will agree, Lord. Oh, Lord, please come. Just take control. Is that your desire? For him to take control of every aspect of your being?
Oh, I feel the Lord. I hear your call. Lord, I know your Spirit's moving me. I give my all.
Oh, speak to us tonight, Lord. together. Why don't we stand and sing it? Tonight. Certainly appreciate his presence in our midst tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, he's all I need.
Oh, and now I sing a brand new song.
you thankful for that tonight?
Oh, He
Hoover, would you come say a word of prayer before we go tonight?
Oh, He paid a debt. Oh, I owe a debt I could not pay. I
This evening, this was more than a man up here just saying words, reading notes off of a page. Lord, I thank You that You came to the back pew, Lord. You stopped and You knocked on my heart. You showed me things, Lord. You're Jesus. Lord, I don't believe I'm the only one. I believe You've moved all over this building tonight. I don't even believe You're through, Lord. Lord, we ask if there's those that have to go, we ask that You would go with them, that Your Spirit would watch over them, that You would be with them, Lord. May they kneel down beside a bed in their home, Lord. Perhaps at work tomorrow, Lord, they could just bow their head or just in their heart, just cry out to You, Lord. Oh, God, I want You to live through me. I want Your mind to operate in me. Tired of David Hoover's thinking. Tired of David Hoover's ways. God, Your thoughts are so far above my thoughts. Your ways are so far above my ways. I just want You, Lord. May that be the prayer of every heart, Lord, dear Jesus. Go with us now. Watch over us. We pray You would give Brother Nathan strength, Lord. Restore his strength, Lord. Give him rest. Help him, Lord Jesus, for the labor that he's put forth in Your word this evening. Lord, we just ask that You would continue this work that You have begun in people's hearts this evening. Lord, this tenderness that we sense to the Holy Spirit, may it just continue, Lord, from the front row to the back row, Lord, to the basement, Lord, to every soul, Lord, dear Jesus. For those that aren't even here tonight, Lord, may You reach out to them, and may they realize, Lord, they missed a moving of the Holy Spirit, and they don't want to miss again. They want to be here. We ask these things, Lord, in Your name. We ask them for Your glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
God bless you tonight. If you need to be dismissed, you can be dismissed. If you feel the Lord's still dealing with your heart and you want to stay, you can stay. Amen. Let's go reverently and just in this atmosphere of the Holy Spirit that we feel here. Let's just worship Him, not just tonight, but all through the week. May it be a worship that we live to Him. Let's sing it together. He paid a debt He did not.
has saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, you have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart. You saved me.
I'm so amazed how you care. It's through your precious blood I found pardon. And now my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. Lord, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so amazed how you care. It's through your precious blood I found.
Free. I praise thee, Lord.
great emancipator. And that's the song of the redeemed. Once my heart and soul were fettered, oh, by those binding chains of sin. Sails are told.
There is a river Serve.